Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Freedom, freedom, where are you? 'Cause I need freedom too. I'm
meditate for practice. Channel 9 News tell me I'm moving backwards. 8 blacks left, deaf is around the corner. 7 misleading statements about my persona. 6 headlights waving in my direction. 5-0 asking me what's in my possession. Yeah, I keep running, jumping the aqua, there's fire hydrants and hazardous smoke alarms on the back of us. But mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, try for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me, honestly guiding me. I can be more than I gotta be, stole from me, lies to me, nation hypocrisy, code on me, driving me wicked. My spirit inspired me like, yeah. Open correctional gates in high deserts, yeah. Open our mind as we cast away oppression, yeah. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. And when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it for every
freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and I have a very special guest with us today. His name is Dr. Joel Freeman. Now, he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute. Dr. Freeman, I'd like to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Kerry.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we've got to start at the beginning. Tell everyone what the Freeman Institute is.
It's a company I started back about 21, 22 years ago. And we have 8 arenas of expertise, and that ranges from workshops and retreats and keynote addresses to culture change, reality-based organizational change. And then I do executive success coaching. I do Black History and Diversity Day presentations, and I have a whole aspect that deals with entrepreneurship and business intelligence and creativity, and then do open registration seminar events for communities, and then also develop the Rosetta Stone Replica Project. The Rosetta Stone is not the language software company. It's the actual artifact that was used to crack the code to hieroglyphics back in the early 1800s, and the original is in the British Museum. It was made in Egypt on the west bank of the Nile. They found it in 1799. French soldiers did. But anyway, I have the world's first and only full-size three-dimensional replica that's available for the general public, and also have my own publishing company and other projects we work with. So that kind of gives you pretty much a quick overview of the Institute.
Sure. And tell the folks out there, where is the Institute located? And we'll take it from there in terms of what it's all about.
Sure. It's in Maryland, not far from Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay. And so I want to just let everybody know, as you were kind enough to just kind of give us a quick overview of the Freeman Institute. But when I looked at your website at freemaninstitute.com, I saw quite a bit of information, so many different things that really kind of piqued my interest, and I was just blown away, to be quite frank with you, Dr. Freeman. One of the things that we'll get into, there's so many different aspects, like I said, that we're going to get into, but one of my favorite parts that I uncovered on your site, of course, like some of the, you know, on a lighter side, some of the quotes that you have there are just fantastic. And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know that. I'm someone who gravitates towards quotes and things of that nature. So when I saw and I look at your kind of your long list of items that you have on your site, and I see that you cover kind of everything. You really do. And you outline it there. You put it there. It's a lot of work that has gone into this. You have some wonderful things that you're doing, obviously, in the way of education, and you have, you know, just
some great things historical content, reference. And then my other part of this that I absolutely love is that you have a huge collection, so of artifacts and things that that document the African American experience, or the African experience, I guess, if you were on some level. So, we want you to walk us through just about everything. So, and then I'm going to end with the entrepreneurship, because that's another part of this that fits into a great deal of where we are today at the Hair Radio Morning Show and what we talk about quite often. So I've got a whole thing on that to kind of cover with you. So let's talk about this particular, before we even get into Annie Malone, which we will definitely get into, let's talk about I think I saw something that you had written, a documentary, if you will, on a white man's journey into through Black America, I think it was. Why don't you tell the folks about this and how all this came to be, why this came to be, and how you got involved? Because I understand that you're from Canada. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I ended up leaving home when I was 17. I come from a little town of Three Hills, Alberta, Canada. And I left home at 17, just started hitchhiking all around North America, long-haired hippie, dope-smoking fool, and just traveled probably 5,000, 6,000 miles on my thumb, pretty much all around North America. And then I had an experience that actually changed my life, that really caused me to revisit, what my purpose was and what my goals were. I signed up for Bible school the next day, and
how old were you, if I may ask, at that point?
I was actually about 17.
Really?
I was 19 years of age. I'm sorry, 19 at that
point. Wow. Okay.
And then I ended up going to school. I became a pastor. I became chaplain for the Bullets, the Wizards, and the NBA.
Wow.
One of the first chaplains in the history of the NBA. And I started that in 1978-79 season. And
what are the chaplain, for those of us who don't know? Obviously, we know what a chaplain does in general, but what did a chaplain for the NBA do exactly? Like, how does all that work?
Well, I'm actually writing a book about it right now called Finding the Open Man, subtitled The Surprising Benefits of Unselfishness. And basically, the whole idea behind being a chaplain is to be a confidant, a friend, someone without any hidden agenda, someone who keeps everything in absolute confidence and is just there for the guys, is not there to take but to give. And it's such a rare situation for so many NBA players, because most people have a hidden and sometimes not so hidden agenda. And so sometimes they don't even know for a year to 2 years what their real agenda is for some people that want to get close to them, either through their kids, their wife or family, parents. They try to get through to the player. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And so I just knew I could love these guys unconditionally, and I could be a listening ear. I didn't always have the right thing to say, perhaps, but I could at least listen. And I think that over 20 seasons, I mean, there are 6 coaching changes, and generally speaking, a new coach brings in his or her new people, depending on the WNBA or NBA or whatever. They just clear the deck and start with their own people. And to have survived 6 coaching changes, I still shake my head. It's remarkable to me that even happened. But it was a great ride. Got to know a lot of players and their families, and that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
So you probably I also understand that you used to get a lot of questions from these guys, and that's kind of what also helped to prompt you and kind of push you forward with getting to have a deeper understanding. So what kind of questions did they pepper you with?
Well, what happened is is, of course, you can imagine, when I was 25 years of age when this happened, and when my first year, my first season, and I've always looked rather young, and you can imagine I probably looked about 16 or 17 years of age when I was 25. And so they're looking at each other and saying, you mean we're supposed to spill our guts to that guy? You got to be kidding me. And so it was earning their respect. But I think that they were testing the seams of my soul and trying to, and the sincerity of my heart by asking questions. And it's probably unconscious. I don't think it was a conscious grilling or anything like that. But over time, they began to ask questions like, you know, what did Jesus look like? What part did people of African descent have to play in biblical and extra-biblical history? Just questions like that that I found that I did not have the responses to. Heck, I didn't even know what questions to ask. And so what happened is that little by little, it forced me to start researching so that I could have some type of a credible response to them. Then you fast forward. That was my first inkling, real inkling, that I needed to grow and expand. I never was interested in history in school, but that got me started. Then you fast forward to about 1995, I met a gentleman by the name of Don Griffin. He was the senior HR manager for a company, and by that time in 93, I had stopped pastoring and decided to take my pastor's heart into the business world, so I launched my own company called the Freeman Institute. And at that point, I was at his job, you know, working, doing some events for his senior leadership team. And between sessions, Don began to share with me his journey as an African-American male, growing up, and some of the latest revelations and understandings he had about himself, about history, and it fascinated me. So I began to study some of the things that he was saying, began to research. I had that much respect for him. And I remember going to the library time and time again. There's no internet at the time. And I just would get these, what we used to call VHSs or videos.
Right, remember those.
And so I'd bring home a video, let's say, a series called Africa, A Voyage of Discovery by Basil Davidson. It was a BBC series. A man from Great Britain, and then I'd pick up the Eyes on the Prize, Part 1, Part 2, The Promised Land, about the move from the South to the, especially the Chicagoland area, and I just began to read books, and then I bumped into Ivan Van Sertima, and I remember calling him up. Someone gave me his home phone number. I called him up, and I said, you don't know me, and I barely know you, but I would like to get to know you. And what happened is that he began to share things with me, and then he got my address. The next thing I knew, 3 weeks later, I got a big, huge box of his books that he edited and wrote. And then I called him back and asked him if he would become my historical guide, my main historical guide. And we spent hours on the phone together where I'd read a book, and I'd redline it. I'd ask all kinds of questions. And he let me ask any off-the-wall question that was ricocheting around my little pea brain. It was just a fascinating experience.
Wow.
We had a great time talking. He's passed away now since 2009. And I miss him, you know, on many levels, but especially just hanging out with him on the phone, just talking with him about various things, bouncing ideas around. So that kind of was the genesis to, and then I met a gentleman by the name of Mark Mitchell, who has a huge Black History collection, and Mark and I began to talk, and I just saw the power of his collection, the impact it had. It is a transcendent quality, transcending race and gender and generation and religion, class. I mean, just fascinating. And so I began to, he became a mentor of mine, and I began to develop my own collection, which is now well over 3,000 pieces. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. I've been able to do exhibits at the United Nations twice, And plus they've used some of my pieces and information on international exhibit that's going around the world right now. Clinton Presidential Library have done things in conjunction with the White House communication staff. Also, Secret Service, 4 years in a row, FBI, just fascinating stuff that
wow.
has emerged as a result of this collection. It's opened up doors, and I find that especially when I'm speaking about diversity or black history, it opens up the minds and hearts to receive what I have to share, because when people see 20, 30, 40 pieces of my collection and exhibit before I speak, you know, now they're intrigued. What's this? What's this white guy all about? What's his deal? You know, what's motivating him? And that's the cartoon bubble above everybody's head. And so I'm able to respond best I can to that. In fact, I have a website called whitemansstory.com. That white man's, no apostrophe on the S, man's, but whitemansstory.com. And that's my online response to that question that people have about, you know, what motivated me to get involved.
Well, I also want to talk a little bit more about this amazing collection that everybody is talking about, of course, that you indicated, you know, over 3,000 pieces. I think I saw in your video or somewhere where it even had, like, the shackles, if you will, for, like, that some of the slaves may have, you know, worn or what have you. In addition to so many other different things, what are some of the other standout items that are included in the collection? And I understand that it is online to some degree.
Yes, blackhistorycollection.com gives kind of a brief overview of some of the pieces, but it's blackhistorycollection.com, singular. And, you know, that one pair of shackles that I received, I was over in Ghana, the Slave Coast Castle, and I was talking with a gentleman there. His name was Stephen Donica, and I began to share with him a little bit about, you know, the film that I had co-created with Don Griffin and the book and some other things in my collection. And then I said, how would it be possible for me to get a pair of shackles, a set of shackles from here, from Africa? And he says, I don't know, but I'll find out. And he brought everything before the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set to me, which he sent to me. And I just blown away that they were that kind, and because I'm sure it's not an unlimited number of shackles they have available. And for them to do that, I just feel so respected by the individuals who voted on this, and of course also Stephen Danica. And so the other pieces, I've tried to do, Carrie, is to develop kind of a global picture, because I find that here in America and in some parts of Canada also, there's this intractable black-white situation where it's very hard to understand, to cross the no man's land, or so to speak, between the two races. And so I tried to bring more of an international view, and because I really think that once people begin to realize that there were things going on in South America. In fact, there's well over 3 million that right now that speak Spanish and Portuguese, people of African descent in South Africa. And many people can't imagine that and cannot understand it. But it just is. I have documents going back to 1553 from Peru, from Ecuador, from Argentina. Some of them are written in Old Spanish. So that even if someone knows Spanish today, they cannot even read these other documents. You have to have a specialized understanding about the old Spanish script. And these are all slave documents. I've got an 11-page document from a hospital where slaves were, if they got sick, that's where they went, St. Bartholomew, just outside of Lima, Peru. And it's just an astonishing thing. And then also I have, what I've tried to do with the collection is I've not tried not to spend so much time documenting the horrific in nature of the slave trade and all the rest of it, even though that's a part of the picture and is a necessary part of the picture. What I've tried to do is to showcase the inventiveness of it and the creativity of people who are have been under the boot of slavery and the trade. And, you know,
and what have you found
Jim Crow
for the most
laws.
Part? Right.
Well, what I've discovered is I developed a metaphor that is not new, but I've applied it to this situation. It's called Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. I commissioned a 90-second animated video that people can see on YouTube, Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. And it what it basically is the concrete is a metaphor for all the horrific things that have happened, ranging from lynching, the Black Code laws, and the Depression, where blacks were hired last and fired first, and just so many issues that are it's impossible to exaggerate the horrific nature what people endured. But then we talk about the blades of grass who came up through, cracked through, and sometimes exploded through the concrete. So the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. So by using this metaphor, it gives permission to talk about the horrific nature without it being a downer. Because then, as I mentioned, the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. Once we begin to understand how terrible it was, and then we see the accomplishments of individuals in spite of how terrible it was, my goodness, I say, I think I've got problems. You know, I mean, here's an example of somebody who had everything stacked against them, and they still made something of their lives and an inspiration to their families. I mean, we all have concrete internally. Stuff like, you know, hey, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't make it, I'm a fraud, if people really knew what I was all about. That's the stuff that echoes in the minds and the hearts of just about every human being. And at one point or another, that can actually rob them of their purpose and their potential.
Right.
And so that we all have that internal concrete. I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too tall, I'm too this, I'm too that. My ears are too big. My ears are too small. My hair is not enough. You know, all that kind of stuff that gurgles around. But then you add to it the systemic issues in a culture that provide external concrete that actually can become so terrible and so demanding of a person's attention that it can actually cripple them and come rolling over them and just say, well, I guess I'm nothing. I might as well commit suicide. I might as well do something harmful to myself so that I sabotage my own success. But here are people that came up through it in spite of it. And that, to me, is I just shake my head. And every time I see pieces from Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker and Frederick Douglass and Toussaint Louverture and other individuals, Marcus Garvey, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of individuals, Pearl Bailey. It just is astonishing to me what these individuals accomplished. And so what I've tried to do is develop a touchstone, if you will. For instance, like Pearl Bailey, I have the actual check that she was paid for her part in Porgy and Bess. And someone, I'm not going to tell you how much it was, because someone might say, how much was that? I'm going to say you have to go to blackhistorycollection.com and do a search for Pearl Bailey, and you'll find out how much she was paid for her part in the movie that came out in the early 50s. And so it just is amazing when you think of what people like her accomplished. I have Ethel Waters, her contract, mm-hmm. her book, His Eyes on the Sparrow. It was a smash bestseller. And I have the actual contract signed by her and her co-author, the one who the ghostwriter, not the ghostwriter, because he was declared that he wrote the book, but co-author with her, Charles Samuels. And then I have other items in here.
Well, Dr. Freeman, is it Was it hard to kind of gather these items? How do you find these items? I mean, is it easier nowadays because of the internet, I guess I should ask?
It's actually very difficult. If someone were to embark upon a collection like this
right now, were to start a collection today, I don't think I would be able to do it.
Be virtually impossible, and I'm not kidding. It is. Wow. I know what's out there and what's not out there, and it is the stuff that you get now are just reproductions, and there's a lot of fakes, and it's very hard. For instance, I have an original letter, handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. It's almost priceless because where could you find one? You know, someone might say, "Well, I've got everything." No, you don't. You don't have a handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. You know?
No, that's huge.
Someone like an Oprah or you name the names out there of individuals that would be interested. I mean, if they went out to look for it, they couldn't find some items that I've been able to bring together.
Wow. Well, I have to say, let me just remind everybody and kind of bring everybody up to where we are. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, today's guest is Dr. Joel Freeman, and he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute in Maryland. And we've been kind of following along and just thoroughly impressed with the amount of information that you have. You are truly a historian in every sense of the word, and an entrepreneur, and you just cover everything, really. I don't think I've seen anybody in a long time like this who I just we're all blown away with this kind of information, this knowledge, and the willingness that you share putting it out there, and it's quite remarkable. So I'm going to kind of turn to, I do want to talk a little bit about Annie Malone and some of the other folks that you write about. And I know we kind of glossed over the book a bit that you wrote with the gentleman, Don Griffin, I believe.
Don Griffin, yes.
So I want you to talk about the book specifically. Tell the folks a little bit more. Are we able to get a copy of this book?
Yes, it can be gotten online on Amazon or anywhere else, or they can contact me after the program or something like that, and I'd be happy to sign a copy for them and send it to them.
Sure.
Right.
Now, it's called The Return to Glory. I just want to make sure that that's clear, Return to Glory.
Subtitled The Powerful Stirring of the Black Man. And the first half is all about the historical content, and that's the half that Don wrote. The second half has to do with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap to wholeness. And in that last part, I detail how a person can walk through the grieving process. Because I remember when I was interviewing people for the book, especially because the book is targeting especially young men, ages about 12 to about 27. And while we were researching this, we had people tell us, "You're crazy. You know, why would you want to write a book? Because if you want to hide something from young African-American men, you just put it in a book, right?" That's what they're telling us. And they said, you're wasting your time. You got to use more visual, music, whatever, other means and methodologies to reach your target audience. But we kept on going with it, and I'll tell you,
which is a horrible stereotype all in it, you know, unto itself.
It is, absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that was the messaging we were getting from people we were interviewing for the book.
Right.
So anyway, what happened is the second half deals with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap. And so what I did is, you can imagine on a suspicion scale from somewhat to extremely suspicious, we're banging on the extremely suspicious end of the scale when I'm interviewing someone, let's say, for the book. And they're saying, you know, why are you writing this book, and who are you, and what are you all about? And so what I did is I asked a question that changed the tone of every single interview. And brought some of us from 45 minutes to sometimes 4, 6, maybe even 8 hours. Some dear friendships emerging. And here's the question that changed the tone of every single interview. Do you remember the moment when you realized that because of the color of your skin, that the rules were somehow different for you? Now, by asking that question, to have a 65-year-old man pause, look out the window, and then look back at me, and then tell me with brilliant clarity what happened when he was 5 or 6 years of age, knowing what the, remembering the weather, what he was wearing, his mother's response when he told her about it, and just, my goodness, that question changed the tone, because I began to then see that there was a whole grieving process. After that moment, whether it's 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 19 or 20 years of age, depending on the situation, to then go from that moment to what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote when she was still alive. She wrote a book about the grieving process. And grieving, we've all lost loved ones or lost a dream, but grieving is all about loss. And so the loss that I began to identify, because my PhD work is in psychology, and I think in that direction, began to see that the loss had to do with, it was the loss of innocence, that all of a sudden a young kid, a young boy, young girl, a young individual, suddenly it's like the scales have been taken off. It's like the blinders have been taken off, and they now can see, wow, they hate me just because of the color of my skin? You got to be kidding me. And then the grieving process, ranging from denial to depression to just all the different aspects that go with the whole grieving process. And in the book, I spend a chapter on each layer, each aspect of the grieving process. And of course, it isn't a neat, nice and tidy, while I'm moving from one part to the next, never to be revisited, but a person could be in whatever acceptance means, you know, because who knows what that means. A person could be in acceptance at 4:30 in the afternoon and be back at square one at 7 o'clock that night and working through the whole process again. So that began to really unlock to me the doorway, the gateway to understanding what humans go through in a situation like this. And it just had an astonishing impact on me.
Well, you know something, Dr. Freeman, I have to ask you, and I think this is about as good a time as any. When you see all of the things that are happening in the country in these current times, and you being a person of faith and education and all the above, and what can you say, and how do you explain it? What are your thoughts on it? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that humans are humans wherever we go. In other words, if you're a Korean in Japan, you're going to be experiencing some crazy situations. If you are a let's say a gypsy in Hungary or in Sweden, you're going to be experiencing situations that are very, very difficult. And if you're from one tribal system or another tribal system, warring against another tribal system in Africa, very similar dynamics. Same color of skin in all in these accounts, except Korean and Japanese might have just a variation of the color of skin. But and also in Mexico, if you're darker skin or lighter skin color, the darker skinned individuals deal with incredible discrimination. In Italy, if you're from North Italy versus South Italy, in Great Britain, just the sound of your speech, if you're from Yorkshire or Scotland and you're talking with someone who's from London, you know, from a certain part of London, there's immediate, the moment the person opens their mouth, there's an immediate class system that emerges. My point being is that for me, I think that wherever we go, there's going to be this kind of situation. And I think it's important for us to understand the history so that we never repeat it, you know, personally. Let me tell you a quick story. I was down at Los Alamos National Laboratory some years back, about 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago now. And I was doing their, speaking at their Martin Luther King event. And I talked about the moment, and I talked about the grieving process. And there's a gentleman there who was very high up at Los Alamos National Laboratory at the time, a man of African descent. He came up to me afterwards and began to share with me his story a little bit. And then after he shared with me his story, he said, you know, he says, when I experienced the moment when I realized because of the color of my skin that the rules were somehow different for me, he said, it was like a hurricane force wind came against me. He was no more than about 6-7 years of age. And he said, in fact, by the way, when you think about a hurricane, it takes about, 75 miles per hour for a wind to get a name. And he said that what happened is that I learned as a young man how to lean into the wind. I learned how to have a sense of humor in the midst of the wind. I learned, it was a dark sense of humor, but I had a sense of humor.
Right.
I learned how to be successful in spite of the wind. I learned how to have relationships with people in spite of the wind, but I knew the wind was there. And he says later on, he says, I rose pretty high in the ranks. I got a job in Japan. He said, I went to Japan and got a tour there. And he said, the moment I got off the airplane, he says, wouldn't you know it, the wind stopped. And remember what I said about the Korean and Japanese. If you're Korean, the wind is at about 120 miles per hour for you. But as a man of African descent, he said the wind has stopped for him. About 3-4 weeks later, there were a delegation from D.C. came to visit. And he said they met at a restaurant. And he said within the first 5 minutes, he said, at the restaurant, he said, I felt the wind pick up again. It was just crazy and strange. Then he looked at me. He's a no BS kind of guy. He looked at me straight in the eye, and as serious as a heart attack, he said, for some reason, I don't feel any wind coming from you. Now, Carrie, I don't know. It just struck me so incredibly hard what he said to me. And I thought I got in the car. I mean, we're I had to get to Albuquerque to get on the plane to come back to Baltimore. A couple of times I had to pull over because I was crying so much, because it meant so much to me. And I just, at that point, you know, I began to pray, I began to talk to God. I said, I never want to be a person who sponsors the wind for my wife, for my kids, for my next-door neighbors, people at church, people wherever I go, and be in cross-cultural situations. I don't want to be a sponsor of the wind. And not if, but when I do sponsor the wind, I just want to be man enough to go to that person, whoever it might be, and ask for forgiveness and apologize and repair as best as I can. Now, I think that is a metaphor, if you will, for how things can change. It's one by one, people reaching out and in spite of the pain. Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, and I think that's what it's all about, that in the midst, in spite of our wounds, in spite of the history, that we all seek to understand before seeking to be understood. That's what Augustine said in the 4th century.
Wow.
Seek to understand before seeking to be understood. Those are words worth embroidering. But
I love
what's cool about that statement is that it doesn't preclude the need to be understood, but it's all about understanding. And I think if every one of us, within the sound of my voice, myself included, if every one of us over the next 30 days said, I am going to seek to understand before seeking to be understood with our spouses, with our kids, the next-door neighbors, everybody, and just I think it could have a profound impact on our on the quality of our lives, on our experiences, and the impact on our work experience, everything that we can imagine. So that's what I think it needs to happen. And so every bone, every tissue in my body, every cell in my body, I want to be committed to that. I want to be committed to impacting other people, like the hot coal principle. The old days, you had the hibachi grill, and you put the briquettes in there, and there's only one or two that are hot, and then you kind of bring the other ones that are cold, you bring them up next to the hot ones, and you hope they catch fire. And so I just think if we can get just some people that are hot coal, briquette coals, and with this message, And little by little, you know, the whole purpose behind the collection. I hold things lightly. You know, that collection, the whole purpose of the collection is to help create an opening in the hearts for people to hear this message. And
wow.
My book, the books I write, you know, everything is all designed to help open up doors and hearts, minds to these kinds of things, to get out of small-mindedness, to kind of move. We can't deny the pain, but it's kind of like a ratchet wrench. You know, a lot of people view the click, 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 you know, the backwards movement.
Right, right.
Just as that, a backwards movement, backwards movement. But actually, when you think about the purpose of the ratchet wrench to loosen a bolt or tighten a bolt, when you do the click, 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 that's an important part of the whole purpose of the ratchet wrench. What's my point? The point is I think sometimes we just need to take a step back, take a look at our pain. Click, 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 and when it's uncomfortable, turn the music off, turn the external stimulation off, and just confront the pain. And we might have to do it in counseling. We might have to do it reading books. We might have to do it in prayer. In a lot of different ways we deal with the pain, but we all have to do that click, 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 and take the step back. But really, that step back is not a backward step. It's a forward step because now we're ready to confront the issues in our lives, to deal with people out of respect, mutual respect. Not me trying to be black or someone else trying to be white. It's just saying, hey, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm not going to diss my own people. I'm not going to tear my own race down. I'm just going to be who I am. And I'm gonna allow you to be who you are when you come into that 5-foot zone around me. And so that's what it's all about, I think.
Wow. Well, I think you put it eloquently, I have to say. Let's talk about just turning a little bit over towards the entrepreneurial part of things. And I love how you really, I have to say, I read a little bit closely about some of the items in terms of you helping corporations and helping folks in terms of diversity and all kinds of different things and customer service and just teaching and being there to help guide folks. I was just quite impressed with all of that, Dr. Freeman. So I want to kind of just talk for a moment, and maybe we need to start off by recognizing the impact of an Annie Malone, of C.J. Walker, and then kind of talk about entrepreneurship in just in general terms. And then I have something I want to mention to you, but why don't we start there? Why is it so important, and it seems like all these things are connected when I think about, you know, the Freeman Institute. It seems like all of these things that you do, there is a theme, there is a purpose for all of these different aspects that you tackle. You do a lot, and you say a lot, and there's a reason, I believe. But I'd like for you to talk to that a little bit. You know, about the entrepreneurship and Annie Malone and all of that. Why did you decide to include Annie Malone as part of your wonderful site and information?
Well, Terry, you are right. There's no more than 2 degrees of separation between any two things that I'm involved
mm-hmm.
with. In fact, what I did is I think it's important for everyone to do this. But I figured every major corporation or organization, faith-based, nonprofit, for-profit, whatever, most every successful organization has a vision statement, mission statement, core values, code of conduct.
Right.
And I figure why not everybody else? Why not individuals develop that? And so what I've done is I developed my own vision statement, my own mission statement, my own core values, and I detail that in the workbook called If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand. It's a book about entrepreneurship, about taking an idea to the marketplace. It's a book about discerning the difference between a viable business dream and a nightmare as quickly as possible. And it's also developed so that an organization could create an entrepreneur club so that people can learn how to deal with objections and learn how to deal with rejection. Because if people can deal with those two things, especially learning it young in life, they can be successful in whatever they do, objections and rejection. And so I think that when it comes to entrepreneurship, see, one of the things that I want to do is help community-based organizations, faith-based organizations establish galleries, black history galleries in a community. And I think that a gallery can become, in fact, if someone goes to blackhistorygallery.com, blackhistorygallery.com, they can learn more about this model. Because I think the Black History Gallery can become like a town well for a community, where people can learn about morals and values and just entrepreneurship and so many different aspects of what it means to return to glory. And so then what happens is that as a person learns about entrepreneurship, in fact, I think especially with, let's say, an organization wanting to mentor youth, you know, if you come at a young person with the whole idea of morals and values, they're going to be gone in New York second. But if you come at them with the idea of how can we connect now with later, you know, what do you do? What do you want to? Where do you want to be down the road 5-10 years from now? And what are you doing now that will connect with 5-10 years from now? And you know, if what you're doing now doesn't connect with 5-10 years from now, then we need to revisit what you're doing now, and we can do that in a very positive way, and begin to understand that the future is a connection of the eternal now, you know, the moment, these moments that we connect together that become the future. And so I think it's important to bring a group of young people together, let's say, and say let's have an entrepreneur club. And by the way, let's develop an entrepreneurial business together. And I developed a whole magazine project around that that's going crazy around the country right now. And let's develop a project so that you can learn how to deal with objections and rejection. And then you can learn how to shake a hand firmly while you're looking squarely in someone's eyes. You can learn how to dress in a manner that's going to be one less speed bump for someone to go over to get to you as a person. We're going to learn how to just the way we communicate, what we say, how we say it, when we say it, time, tone, tact. We're going to look at all these different aspects. We look at your values, your morals, your character. But you see, all this stuff gets slipped in through the side door. And it's along the way, all this stuff becomes introduced because, you know, if you want to be successful, if you want to make more money, if you want to be a person that has a greater purpose in life and attracts people to you, your counsel is in demand, you have to start looking at these other areas. But if you lead with that foot, the other area foot, it's going to drive them away. But if you lead with the foot, of success and entrepreneurship, because we're all either going to be an employer or an employee. And I prefer to train up employers, people with an entrepreneurial mindset that can end up hiring 100, 1,000, 10,000 people down the road.
Exactly.
And provide jobs for families. And that's the kind of mindset I like to prepare people for. And so that they're almost not content for anything else but that.
Exactly. Well, I love that. I really do. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Speaking of which, I see that you have the video there. I didn't get a chance to discover that before we began to chat today. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the Madam C.J. Walker items that you have. And I believe they're part of your collection. Or tell us a little bit about that, and how did you, you know, we'll turn to the hair part of it.
Okay.
How did you get that and talk a little bit about that? And I'm looking at your video, but I don't have the sound up. So, you know, walk me through a little bit of what all of that is about.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many hear of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? who, what shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone, about Manager J. Walker, but then you might have three or four people saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Right.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
And because she
Go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was.
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Poro College, it's just very simple. The word, first word is four letters. Poro, P as in Paul, O as in ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in ocean, Poro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first people in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, female millionaires in the country.
And that's what I'm getting.
Timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both and all the things that they
no
stand
compare.
For.
They both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced. Let me put it that way.
Wow.
And And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, you know, clean, it was orderly, it was, I mean, you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And so, and she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed, in 1926, 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines, a wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he
of course.
He grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's why the spelling Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, comes from that Good Avenue.
All the time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work. And so he became a beautician. And, of course, his songs just took off. And, you know, he never went back to it. But
Right. Amazing. So, okay, well, that explains a great deal for us on that, because I was just curious. I'm really sad to understand that she had that kind of a ending. But you know what? I always like to remind folks, and it always seems to me that it's always those who are incredibly talented and creative, and they always attract a certain kind of the opposite, if you will. I don't know. It just seems very strange to me. But anyway,
Some people make great personal choices and bad business choices, and other people make bad business,
it's the
bad
opposite,
personal choices and good personal choices.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Well, listen, thank you so much. This is great. Folks, if you've just joined us, we have really been kind of getting a great education, a great understanding of so many historical elements and things that we, you know, we kind of knew a little bit about, or we kind of heard about, and some of us have read some things, but not others. So we're so excited to have the gentleman behind the Freeman Institute. He is the founder, CEO, and president, Dr. Joel Freeman, and he's with us today. And this is just, I'm still kind of stuck on the 3,000, more than 3,000 pieces that you have in the Black History Collection. I can't wait to come and see that. So I'm very, very excited.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited
about it. Sure. So this is just wonderful. And we're going to tell the folks again, why don't you do that, Dr. Freeman? Tell the folks how they can reach you, how they can find out the items that they really need to focus on some of these. I mean, you have quite a bit of information.
Well, I think if people can go to blackhistorycollection.com, and then at the very bottom of the page is all of my contact information. And so then I'd be very happy to talk with them if they want to order a book, a film version of the book, Return to Glory, the entrepreneurship book, anything at all, or just want to talk maybe about something in there that they have a collection or a few pieces and they're wondering about it. I'd be very happy to talk with people. And so that's probably the best way, blackhistorycollection.com.
Well, we're going to, of course, stay on top of all of this and bring you back, Dr. Freeman. We've got you now. And there is a whole lot of this that we're going to delve into on a regular basis, because this is something that's so critical and important for us to have a greater understanding about. And I feel so honored and lucky right now. I feel so lucky that I've been able to come across your information. I'm just very grateful. Now, I have to say, before we close out, I had mentioned this at the top of the interview. I love the quotes that you've assembled. I don't know who wrote them, but I just love them. And these are just a couple of them that I just said, oh, wow, how great. Patience is not waiting. It's how you act while you're waiting. So that's one. I love that. And I think that says so much. And my other favorite that I seem to have just picked up again from looking at, I started at freemaninstitute.com, and I saw this, and it's like age doesn't always bring wisdom. Sometimes age comes alone. I just love that. That says it all. So I want to just say you are just extraordinary. So
you're extraordinary. I'm an expert in this or that. I'm not an expert. I'm just a student. And so I'll always be a student learning.
Wow.
Like someone once said that you can't learn with your mouth open. It's just more of a situation. You just really want to. I'm always someone that I want to just learn. Because generally speaking, you aren't learning much when your lips are moving. And so I want to be a person who listens at least twice as much than I speak.
I
did a lot more speaking today than I.
Well, that's
than I
okay.
Like to do.
that's exactly what I was about to say. It's okay when your lips are speaking when they're educating so many people, countless folks who need to hear what you have to say. So I am so grateful. Now, are you on social media? We need to find out. Are you on social media at all?
I'm on Facebook. I've got about 16 pages. In fact, there's a page called Black History Collection. It's the only one on Facebook. Got over 10,000 followers on that. And got some very, very cool stuff on that. And then, of course,
you're about
name,
to have 10,001. Okay.
There's Black History Collection right on the Facebook page. And then,
sure.
Of course, I have my own personal Facebook page, and I'd love to connect with anybody. And then I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and who knows about me and all
okay.
that kind of stuff that's out there.
So we can find you. Okay. Well,
I'm
going to have you back, as I said, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Well, do you have any closing thoughts? You've been so kind to just share your perspective on all of this, and just someone who has done so much. Do you have any closing thoughts or words of inspiration or encouragement?
Well, I do. I think, speaking of the hair and beauty industry, I just see how Asians have pretty much taken over, and I'm not mad at them. I think they just took advantage of a situation that was open and available. I've developed a 10-year plan on how African Americans can take back the hair care and beauty industry, starting from the top down and the bottom up. And I think Annie Malone figures very much into this. I would love to see this booklet get into every beauty parlor, every beauty salon, every barbershop in the country, and have people learn about Annie Malone. And then I'd like to see the most senior people in the hair care beauty industry, from the old guard companies, the new guard companies, come together in the first year, not even deal with business things, just develop relationship, to take a look at the elephants in the room, to walk through all of that, to deal with that, and then have a united, just not a united front necessarily, even though that's important, but united, just be united and to really become good friends and understand how important this is. And then in the second year, start developing manufacturing and then distribution. And little by little, I think that there's a whole willing audience built around Annie Malone's story that could be wide open, because people will not buy black just for the sake of buying black. They want to buy something that is a good price, that's easily available, it is distributed well, is manufactured well, And, you know, you just check all the boxes off, and then someone will say, okay, now I'll buy whatever that product is. If it happens to be black, that's what I'm talking about, is to create a whole industry that can, because without the, if the consumers are trained and understand what's going on, I think, and then there's a product and manufacturing and distribution all set up in place to deliver it, I think that within 10 years, the whole industry can turn around and it can become something that's well within the African-American community. But I think Annie Malone is the key for all of this.
Well, I just want to remind the folks, and the book that you're talking about, exactly the title and how we can get our hands on it, that
it's
book
Madam,
again.
Madam Walker's Role Model. It can be found on Amazon, eBay, but if they go to, if someone goes to Poro College, P-O-R-O, Paul Ocean, Ralph Ocean, porocollege.com, they can see how to order it. And I think it's such an important piece of history. You know, Carrie, I reached out to the top, the leaders in the hair care beauty industry and only found two or three that even knew who Annie Malone was. And I said,
exactly.
I said, you know, that this is an important thing for people to learn about her so then they can begin to reanimate her legacy.
Well, I'll tell you something. It starts today. Dr. Freeman, I want to thank you again for being our very special guest right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to have you back to kind of, you know, continue this wonderful conversation. I think it was a great start, and you've helped to peel back just a little bit for us, and we've got some work to do. We've got some work to do, so we're going to have you back. Well, listen, I want to thank you again, and you, please remain on the line, Dr. Freeman. I'm going to close us out here, and we're going to chat. All right, folks, keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Thanks so much, Dr. Freeman.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
you believe in yourself and the plan, know what you want, you're gonna make it happen, make it happen. And if you're getting on your knees at night and pray to the Lord, he's gonna make it happen, make it happen.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I'm actually on location in downtown Brooklyn. We're talking about New York City. And I'm so excited. Typically, you guys know I'm in the studio, and we are just kind of broadcasting from an enclosed edifice, if you will. Well, today, I'm so excited because as a bonus, we are able to reunite with the one and only Mr. Lonel Williams, who has decided to make an appearance. Lonel, I have to say this. So, being out here in New York, what on earth comes to mind now? Because you really are, you're back in the city. So what is this like?
I am loving being back here. The first thing that comes to mind is allergy medication, because
I
even sound a little nasally, I love being outdoors, but my allergies are just like going nuts. But there's no place like New York, just the energy. The sun is shining, the vibrance, the diversity. I love all things New York City, even the bad stuff about it. I just love
which we don't. We never hear anything about that.
Never, never. I haven't seen a rat in the subway yet.
Exactly.
I guess I have to go back on the subway, but yeah, we'll see. No, but I absolutely love being in the city. I just love it.
Well, I gotta say, because we are here in what's the name of this park again?
This is Fort Greene Park in Brooklyn. I can't believe you don't know where this is, but okay.
No,
yeah, Fort Greene Park, Brooklyn. We're in the United States, Carrie.
Okay. Oh, I heard that. Well, you know what? It's true. It's true. Because I guess I'm always inside the studio. Rarely do we get an opportunity to go outside, which is why I really jumped at the chance today to come out and be able to tape and certainly to catch up with Mr. Lionel Williams, who goes so far back, go way, way, way back, and to see what's new and be out amongst the people, literally. And I'm going to put a lot of these pictures onto our fan page at hairradio.com. So you'll be able to go there. I'll post some wonderful little things here with Lionel and all this kind of stuff. So Lionel, so here in New York, give the folks a sense of, like, what you're here with some, you've got some plans. Anything at all you can share with the fans of the, we're going to put them on the spot, folks. Anything you can share with the fans of Hair Radio.
You know, I don't...
you don't kiss and tell.
I don't have any exclusives that I can offer you at this time, but I can just say follow 3OWTV, 3OWTV.com, and any updates or first releases, you know, I'll let you know. But this time, this particular visit for me is really just about enjoyment and catching up with friends. I don't really have... well, I've got a couple of things, actually, a couple of work things, but they're kind of tied into joy. You know, I try to walk that line. If I don't enjoy doing it, then why bother?
Exactly.
So if I can't have some fun out of, make some fun out of it, I don't want to be bothered. So I have some stuff I have planned, but you just have to stay tuned.
Okay, it gets no better than that. I want to thank you, Lionel. Thank you for taking a moment or two. Send us off with some of your positive words of encouragement. Until we meet again on the Hair Radio Morning Show, what do you have to say to everybody?
Live each moment to the fullest. No matter what you're, don't be defined by the appearance of your circumstances. It's just the appearance of it. You've got to see your vision beyond that. See where you want to be. See yourself in that space. And manifest it.
It gets no better than that. The Hair Radio Morning Show, again, thanks Mr. Lionel Williams of 3LWTV.com. Check them out. And again, we'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
The factory, the companies that we have, every new store that we open, we're going to place their products in those stores.
Wow.
Because
that means a lot.
Because we write all the orders for the new stores, you know.
Wow.
So we're going to place those products in the stores because the stores are looking for black-owned products.
Mm-hmm.
Black
men. They can't find them, can't get enough. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, they can't get them because they're not in the distribution channel. They're not in the big distributors like a PK, like a Jenny's, like a B-Sales, you know, like a $7, you know, like a Ben's. They're not in those distribution channels, so it's hard for them to get into the stores. So
absolutely.
We have to start from scratch. We have to do store by store by store because it used to be sales reps would go around and sell the products to the stores.
Right.
But there's not that many black reps out there anymore.
True.
So,
well, Sam,
so
I
we
have
to
say
help.
you're doing your part with BOPSA. You're definitely doing your part. One of the other things I wanted to mention before we close up today, something that I look forward to, and that was catching or seeing this amazing newsletter that you put out. I want to say connecting the dots, but I know it's your thing there. Can you tell us a little bit about this newsletter? Because your newsletter goes very far. How did it come about, and why is it so important?
Well, the newsletter is like an update. Let people in our industry know what's going on. You know, the stories that are not told, I'd say.
Exactly.
There's a lot of stories out there, you know, in various cities and states about what we're doing, you know, in the black hair care industry. And those stories are not told. So we try and come out with a new newsletter for readers that want to know about what's going on in the little cities. And what new store is going to be opening in their town. So that's what the newsletter is about, and it's a voice. And we also send out flyers and email blasts about anybody got a new product, a new store is opening, or anything that's, you know, that our readers, the black consumers, would be interested in.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, I'm Gary Hines. It's Friday, September 3rd of 2021. I want to thank you guys for being with us this morning. As we kind of close out the week right here on our broadcast, I'm in Brooklyn, New York. For those of you, today's your first time tuning in and you're not quite sure, yes, we're in Brooklyn, New York, and we broadcast to the world literally Monday through Friday from 6 in the morning to 9 o'clock. We're live. And what the Hair Radio Morning Show is all about, yes, hair and beauty, of course, is our ongoing theme, and that will never change. But we talk about a wide scope of items here on the broadcast. Anything that Black America is talking about or would like to be talking about. And that's a very important fact right there. If it's something that is kind of bubbling up at the surface, we're going to address it here on our show. I also like to say it's whatever the folks are talking about at the hair salons and the barber shops. We're talking about right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now listen, we've got a lot to get into. We're just at the halfway point on the broadcast today. We'll be talking about what's coming up next week. If you've just joined us, you might have just missed a little clip that we just aired with Sam of BOBSA.org. That's BOBSA.org. It stands for Black Owned Beauty Supply Association.org. So again, it's bobsa.org. Check it out. Sam Enon is the man, the genius behind that organization. He's got a myriad of products available. One in particular is You Go Girl. So for you guys out there who are looking to add to your retail lineup, this is the man. These are the products. You, just like you, like uniform, not Y-O-U, it's the letter U. You Go Girl. Those are the products, and it's a whole list of great hair care items, and we're going to be getting their commercial on. Sam himself will be here to join us as soon as his schedule allows. Should be in the next week or so. We'll keep you posted on his next appearance with us. Now, listen, also coming up in just a little bit, I've got some of my favorite classic interviews. You know, today is our 605th show. And so we've got a lot in the archives that we're going to get on for you throughout these next couple of weeks. We'll be playing some interviews that were my favorites as well as your favorites, some fan faves. We also will have some clips that we've pulled out for some of these interviews. One in particular that we did, the tables were kind of turned. There was a wonderful co-host I had briefly on. I'm going to see if I can get that one on for you in just a couple minutes. We'll go ahead and play that on as well. Some other updates are on the way. We'll take a little bit of a music break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening right now. Also, Monday is a holiday, and coming up on the 20th anniversary of September 11th, we're going to talk about all that, plus what's happening right now in New York City, you know, with the storm recovery. We'll cover all that. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more this morning to go. Here is that music break. We'll be right back.
I'm
Listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now I am welcoming back to our broadcast, Hair Royalty. Cheryl Morrow, welcome back.
Welcome back. No, it's been a while. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure.
I feel like I'm home.
You are home. That's the right way to look at it. And let's talk about that, Cheryl Morrow. First of all, everybody knows who you are. You are the daughter of Dr. Willie Morrow. We know him from 400 Years Without a Comb and so many other innovations out there. And you in your own right have become a hair legend. And so it is our pleasure and honor to welcome you back to the broadcast. You've been here all along.
Wonderful to be back. Wonderful to be back.
Now, Cheryl,
I miss you guys. You guys are in New York City. I wish I was there.
Yes. Well, you will be soon enough. You'll be out here on the East Coast with us during doing your thing here at the Hair Nation Expo, which will be in Atlantic City. We're going to talk about all that good stuff. But first of all, how's everything going out on the West Coast with all of your business enterprises out there? How's the family? What's going on?
Lots of change, lots of transition. Dad is obviously going to be 79 this October.
Okay. Still a baby. No, I was saying he's still a baby. Still a young man.
Yeah, right. Oh. All those millions of miles on like you said, on his feet. Some changes there. And being, taking over a helm of leadership in terms of what we call just innovative black hair or innovative technology in the ethnic beauty sector. It's an interesting one. You know, you get all types of players on all levels, distribution, production, science, you know, lab, chemistry, and then consumer engagement now with the new, you know, not with new, but just the element of social interaction on a consumer level on social media. So just all of those components just in an era of great change for ethnic beauty.
Ethnic beauty? Let's talk a little bit about that because we all use a lot of similar nomenclature, but what is ethnic beauty? And then I'll tell you a quick story.
Okay. the reason why I like to use ethnic beauty, because I have a Facebook page called Beauty Ethnica, because as the colloquial titles of natural hair, quote unquote natural hair, we are recognizing that the ethnicity of Afro textures range from almost to, I mean, infinity almost, from, you know, your very coarse coil textures. I'm talking about a menagerie, a very wide variety of ubiquitous curly textures that are so commonplace that most people on the planet have them. And that straight hair is actually a very rare occurrence.
So, I've never heard it quite described as you've just described it. A menagerie of curls. Wow. All
right. Right. And they're stemming from just like, you know, you would get, I mean, it's as simple as water painting for kindergartners. I mean, you have your very dark skin to your dominant, most dominant, and then you have that curly pattern of that particular texture, and then all of the variations that come from that dominant expression, that very tight coil, and then every other, you know, variation. We're saying that it belongs to the ethnic world.
Right.
That is a common phenotype of an ethnic world, and that, you know, the other way or the other beauty standard that which most traditional cosmetologists, no matter where you are in the world, well, they are talking about, you know, using straight hair as the standard, and then, of course, it does not encompass or invite or it does not carry the profile of the ethnic world at the epicenter. In my term, and when I use it, Carrie, I'm talking about a more global textured family than the least one. So that's what I mean. Now I'm just story.
Okay. Cheryl Morrow, of course, shuts it down. Okay. Well, listen, I'm excited to talk with you. As you know, the last time we've chatted, and all of the listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show, they will recognize your voice immediately because we have run your interviews here on this broadcast quite often. So they know every single thing. And what kind of plays in my mind, we did this extraordinary interview. And like today, we're going to get into a few things. And then one of the things that I have always wanted to catch back up with you, because we haven't had a chance to chat on air. We've talked many times off mic, but we haven't had a chance to get back in front of everybody with all these things that are kind of happening in the world right now. And the last time I think we chatted, it was after the whole Rachel Dolezal thing. That you were kind of to share. Do you remember that?
Yes.
That you were. What do you ever think about that whole thing anymore, or are you just? I mean, it was so eloquent how you put things.
Well, I think that the politics, the socio political context of how we try to place ourselves and talk about ourselves in a socio political racial kind of conversation. You know, I don't really like to hear professors or the black elite talk about or intellectualize Rachel Dolezal's experience or Barack Obama's experience or any other racial person. Because you don't know what it is to be, you know, whoever's talking about it at that particular time. You know, let's just say this, like Halle Berry's mother said, that did not make Halle a black girl. I would have probably placed her in harm's way. And I would have brought extra issues on my biracial daughter that she did not need to experience.
Wow.
So I decided to make her a black girl completely. That way that there was a definitive line drawn. And then I knew that though she would have certain issues inside of the culture of black folk, but she would be quite protected as well.
Wow.
More probably, more protected than if I made her a white girl. Just think about that.
That says
a white
everything. Yes, that's a
mother.
That's right.
Gender.
Very profound lady, by the way.
Right. But her gender and her being a mother trumped her race identity. That's the wonderful thing about women. The mother trumped everything else. She immediately understood that if she made Hallie a black girl, then she'll only be, you know, talked about a little, you know, dealing with a little issues. But the culture in and of itself would cloak her and protect her and make her probably a more well-rounded human being. Well, Rachel saw that. She identified to make herself a different human being or culturally identified in a different group. So she felt that she could move a lot smoother through life instead of as a white woman. That was her choice. So that just goes to show you that even being black, you can learn to be black.
You know, it's funny that you say that because it also brings to mind, I don't know if you ever saw this, there was one that, I think if I recall correctly, Mariah Carey's mother was on, I believe, Oprah or something at some point, and she said something pretty similar to that. Like, these, like they're so deep and profound, and it takes us all by surprise. Well, maybe not everybody by surprise, but it takes quite a few of us. It was such, you know, such compassion and empathy towards African Americans in just an unreal way. Or people of color,
I think that's what they find in the culture. There is, no matter when there's so many obviously racial issues and historic issues, you know, in dealing with this country, but inside the spiritualness, the anthropological history we have with each other, there is just so much more self-compassion, collective compassion, and so much empathy and so much love and so much richness in other areas that is worth, when you have a biracial child, just go ahead and making them identify with the culture. Then no matter, then they are suitable. They have the sensibilities. They have the wisdom and the connection to humanity. Then it makes them appropriate to be able to go into the white part and still have their sense of self. But if you start with the other one, the mothers are not sure that they're going to have the humanity they need to go back the other way.
See? Exactly. Well, listen, if you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very special treat for you today. We're chatting with Cheryl Morrow. She's actually made it back to the Hair Radio mic, and we are so excited to have you. Good morning. Good morning, Cheryl Morrow. Welcome back.
Yes. Well, we got into it deep. We didn't even start on the surface.
Let me tell you something. When you listen to this interview with Cheryl Morrow and all the interviews that you do here, they're all priceless. And we're going to put you out on your own album soon. We're going to just have all Cheryl all the time right here. I tell you, one of the things that I do love about this, and that's why we haven't even gotten to the hair part. We haven't even started the hair talk yet, because you always ring in with such a unique perspective. And right now, there's so much going on in the way of one of, and this gentleman, and I still call him a gentleman, he's from my home in Philadelphia, and he's just recently been sent off to prison to serve time and branded as some unspeakable things that I'm not even going to be say. You know, they labeled him dangerous and all this kind of crazy stuff. But I want you to weigh in, Cheryl. Wherever you go is fine. I just want to hear how you put all this into perspective in your unique wisdom that you have on Bill Cosby. And if you black, you got an opinion about Bill Cosby. I'm sorry. We all do. You know, we all do. You go ahead, Cheryl. You go ahead, Cheryl.
I do think that, and here we go again with the humanity aspect of our individual selves as we are connected. All black folks are connected. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I think our collective betrayal is something that Richard Pryor's wife said. And here again, we have to examine it, you know, why did Bill Cosby even connect with us in the first place? You know, because I think that he will be connected to Mr. Huxtable out of all the things that he has done down through the years. And, of course, he was super talented, and we loved his films with Sidney Poitier and things of that nature.
Blaxploitation movies, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, Bill Cosby was there. He was the man.
Right.
He was there with, you know, and I love those movies with him and Sidney Poitier.
Mm-hmm.
But two things, you know, Richard Pryor's wife said that there was a facade there. It was not real. And the difference between Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor, and she said in an interview that everyone can listen to on YouTube, she said the difference between, you know, when they, Camille and Bill would come over their house, they would come over with this sense of, you know, superiority and judgment, and how, you know, they felt really judged by them. But the point, to make a long story short, the point she was making was that, unfortunately, we're just coming to the realization that the difference between Richard and Bill is that Richard worked dirty but lived clean. And Bill worked clean and lived dirty. So in how it was just not known in certain circles that Bill was weird and he did weird things. Now, I know that just on the surface, all black people did not realize that maybe, you know, O.J. Simpson and figures that we find out later that they're probably not the characters that they're actually giving us. And that, thank you, Bill, for giving us Mr. Huxtable, but we rather would have had Bill and not
Well, Mr. I don't know about this Bill if we wanted, but I'll
well,
tell you
but,
something,
but you can't separate the two.
You
yeah,
cannot,
but you
wow. But doesn't it also have a lot to do with that we have not exactly been able to show all the dimensions that we are? We are always compelled to, you know, just be in to show just one little Sam Slappy type of personality in order to be taken seriously in mainstream America. And so that's my concern. If I think if we're not compelled to be forced into that little box and to be only able to show one. Yes, go ahead.
Well,
what do you
say? Well, I'm just saying, dude, well, here we go again. You know, black on black crime. We allow us to be singled out. We don't realize that people kill people or people hurt people. People commit crimes where they live. So white people kill white people.
True.
Italian people kill Italian people. And everybody do wrong things, but for some reason ours is really stuck out. But that is because if you think about it. If we would create a separation of church and state in our own culture and allow us to be just human, but because the black church, and there's so much high moral ground in our history that we can't even be normal. Like, we got criminals. You know what I'm saying? We got people who do things. But it's almost like when I want to watch, when I tell people, people ask me, it's very surprising when I like to watch the hip-hop of Atlanta or the Housewives of Atlanta or this. They'll be surprised that I watch Empire. So, and I would say to them, and I'll be quiet on this subject. You know, y'all didn't stop me when I was watching Dynasty.
Mm.
You didn't stop me when Knox Landing and Soaps and the, and y'all didn't want it. Why am I now, when I watch black people and they're going through their daily lives and they have issues and they have things that they don't, they shouldn't do, why is it now I have to be judged because I want to watch black people do it? You didn't stop me when I was watching white people do it. When I was watching black men.
That's very interesting. Yes.
Now,
well,
why
you're...
is it okay to watch Falcon Crest and
Angela Channing. Yes. Well, listen, you know, if I know who Angela Channing and all those folks are, and I just love it that you go there on this conversation, because it's interesting, because it's almost like we can't have it, you know, we can't have it one way or the other, because if we don't have these dramatizations on the air, like Empire and Star and all these other shows that have taken a page out of those playbooks, like Dallas and Flamingo Road and all those things that we used to from our generations and all that kind of stuff, then we're but we're not happy with that comparison, and then we're not happy if we don't have a show on at all. So, you know, I think it, you know, that the success of an Empire and all these other shows, I think it's just the beginning. And as far as the Housewives series from Atlanta, we've had Marlo's been here on the Hair Radio Morning Show many times. Cynthia also has been on our show several times. So we love these folks, and they mean a whole bunch to us. And we've had some other reality stars right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we love everybody out there doing their thing, and don't you stop. And Cheryl, you know, wear that proudly. You know, you come from the old soap days.
I say when I sit down and even when I sit down and I say, okay, I'm sorry, I want to watch some black people, I don't care what they're doing.
Well, you know, that's funny that you say that.
I just make that. I don't care what they're doing. Why do I have to judge what they're doing?
I love it because when I turn on the television, sometimes, I mean, I love all folks, and we all do, you know, and that is evident. But boy, oh boy, it's just nice to see some folks that kind of like a mirror. Every once in a while, you do want to glance and see something that kind of resembles you looking back. And so on television, I wanted to also mirror what it looks like when I go outside my door. And so I'm confident, and that's cable television and folks who don't have cable, because it's a big difference if you don't have cable and you're looking at television. You won't see the same images that you see when you do have cable. And broadcast needs to catch up with this. And speaking, well, you know what, Cheryl? Our listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show will kill me if I do not get to the hair talk with you. So listen, I have to say, first of all, again, if you're just tuning in, yes, we've been kicking it this morning with Cheryl Morrow. Cheryl, now I have to say, let's turn to back to ethnic hair, okay, and back to the hair talk this morning. Now, you are coming to Hair Nation Expo, and just for you guys out there who may have forgotten for some strange reason, but yes, Hair Nation Expo is our live hair and beauty show, and it's happening a week before Mother's Day. It's exactly the weekend before Mother's Day, May 4th, May 5th, and May 6th, 2019. So this is what's happening. It's a three-day period. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, from 10 in the morning till 6 o'clock, and then on Monday from 10 to 5. And what we're focusing on is being just in the center of everybody, across the spectrum, literally, of hair. So we have, whether you are a naturalista or a locks specialist or, you know, a relaxed queen or a chemical king, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You're welcomed here at Hair Nation Expo, because we're creating just one big conversation. And so we've got folks coming from just about everywhere for this event. Again, it's those 3 days, May 4th, 5th, and 6th, in 2019 in Atlantic City, New Jersey, at the Showboat Hotel. Now, I want this to be clear to everyone. The Showboat Hotel is huge. This is not, you know, and nothing against the folks who have meetups and hair meetups in the basements and the schools and all that. We need all of that. But what we're bringing is an actual trade show that can encompass and hold up to 30,000 individuals over the course of the 3 days. And it is the very first ever hair and beauty show on the boardwalk in the history of Atlantic City, New Jersey. So I'm so excited. And we wanted to do something, Cheryl, where everybody could easily get to.
Yes.
Just easily get to it. So what do you say? What are you, yes, what are you, now, Cheryl, what are you doing at the expo? How, what are you going, are you going to give us a tidbit for all your fans so that they can come meet you out there?
Okay, well, I let me just say this. We're going to give some exciting, some people their chance to win a whole package of a marketing package and branding package to start their own line.
Yes.
But to get into the whole full business of beauty, to give them a chance to win that. Second, they're going to see us introduce the next trends and technology and science that is coming out in ethnic beauty so everyone can be on the pulse. We're going to be talking about technology in terms of a whole new way to relax hair, a whole new way to moisturize hair, and a whole new whole section of you know, we talk about the wonderful butters and shea butters. Well, we're bringing out a whole another technology of what shea butter can do and what other butters of other countries out of Africa can do. We're going to be exposing a whole new branding agency that deals with controlling our narratives in advertising and marketing campaigns and public relations and things of that nature. So we are going to be, everything's going to be new. Everything's going to be disruptive. Everything's going to be a trend setting for from 2019, the moment we presented from 2019 all the way to, you know, the next 10 years, what we will be doing in ethnic beauty in the next 10 to 20 years.
Wow. It just seems like it's getting so big, though. I mean, it's always been big, I guess, but it seems like it's taken on a whole new thing.
And by the way, you know, we now as ethnic beauty or the ethnic beauty industry, we now have to be all, we have to start thinking in terms of what we call the Procter & Gamble factor. We not we can no longer just extend our, and let's just say, for instance, a beauty professional such as a hairstylist or a barber stylist. You can no longer just do styling as a as your scalable business model. You are now going to have to turn the corner and let your sweat equity be less and start encompassing personal care, not just hair care. You're going to have to now, in terms of understanding, you know, not just talking about retail, but offering the customer a whole beauty experience, soap, lotions, foot care, hand care, cuticle care, nail care, you know, eyebrows, scalp, you know, massage. It is no longer just salons are, we're going to, you know, present a program called Salon Métier, which is, you know, how to transform to just hair care to a complete personal care kind of offering in the product experiences. You can no longer just be a salon and just have a chair. And we're bringing a new financial system also, which is an answer to blueprint versus employee systems. So the key word for Hair Nation 2019 at the Showboat is about, I think your word is disruption.
Wow.
And where a tectonic kind of shift, where this ground underneath, the fundamental, the foundation, actually forces all of us to shift in a very good and positive way, don't get me wrong, but I'm talking all positive. But being on the verge of apps and drinking, you know, making a presentation at a wonderful little group called Dev Jam Labs. And Dev is spelled D as in, like Def Jam, but D-E-V as in victory, but this is a conference for developers, Afro-minded developers and coders talking about, and I'm doing the beauty part, because even the beauty part in terms of technology and apps and your mobile phone device, all of it's going to have to be different in how we engage into the ethnic beauty consumer and influencer. We're going to have to engage, and I think that we're going to bring it at Hair Nation.
Oh, yes. Well, this is what we're talking about. Hair Nation Expo, and like yourself, we've got heavy hitters there who are coming from every part of this whole hair game, literally, to bring it with education, to bring it with products. Now, I know that the listeners out there of the Hair Radio Morning Show would appreciate knowing, Cheryl, hearing some of your tips. A lot of the stylists are looking to launch their own product lines. And you and I, we've talked about this offline again. We've had many conversations off mic, but we've never, ever really had an opportunity to share this with the fans. And we know they want to know this. We know you professionals out there want to hear from Cheryl some tips on starting your own product line. Would you be able to, Cheryl, just kind of anywhere you want to go with it, share what someone can do or what are some of the steps they should do when considering to launch a product line of their own so they can bring to shows like HairNationExpo.biz?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that, one of the reasons why I wanted to start a branding agency with my business partner is because wanting to make that process what we call systematic and not just consultative, and offering them step by step and much more than just a bunch of talk, a bunch of me in front of a room and then a bunch of notes and things of that nature. And Niche approaches it with giving them physical behaviors, which means that there are exercises, things to do in the course of the day. We are starting a podcast that literally walks them through the beauty CEO of a daily, from startup to brand position.
Awesome.
And into their campaigns and things of that nature. But one of the complete, utterly device, I would say, and I have I realize that I have a distinctive beginning in black hair care and in beauty. I do realize that because of my background, it's easy for me to say, but to really truly understand that you can only understand the business from where you operate. So let's say if you are behind the chair, you only really only know the business from behind
that perspective, right?
And that is a physical, what we call technical perspective, styling perspective, consumer level, so to speak. And but to in order to step into the energy of what we call C-suite or the executive branch is understanding that you're going to have to go through a real detachment and a very subconscious shift to even approach it, because you're now making decisions. You can't make decisions of a brand owner now as like being a stylist. And the moment you do that, it's you can forget it. Don't even start. Because just your acknowledgement that you don't understand the difference between an executive duty, an executive decision, and an executive behavior, and an executive thought are not the same as a stylist's thought.
Wow.
And how you connect even to a jar or a bottle, a towel, water, bills, money, finance, economics, consumerism, capitalism. You just don't realize that you only are having an experience by the position or of operation that you interact with. You only know it from that one dimension. So the moment you realize that, okay, I need to understand it from another dimension, the second dimension, the third dimension, then you can probably place yourself, because 20 years in the business of picking cotton does not make you master of the cotton field.
True.
It just means that you have managed to pick cotton without cutting yourself.
Yes.
It just doesn't mean anything now that you are deciding to elevate. Excuse my, comparison. But that hit home. You know, my stylist will understand that equity does not really give them the experience to sit behind a desk. It only gives you experience of cutting hair and styling.
That they can get that education, or is that what you're saying? That
that's what we're going to offer in Hair Nation, at the Showboat in 2019 is
that's
giving
right.
them the opportunity to understand C-suite beauty is so elegant, first of all. It's a wonderful experience to see beauty and fashion and colors. And it's wonderful to get to the good part, which is the glamorous part, the packaging, the colors, the labeling, and then naming, and then creative briefing out and discussing it and mind sharing. All those things are wonderful. But the capacity to understand that most people don't even realize, Carrie, how they operate. Some people who turns from technician to the product owner, they don't realize that they're not good at being a CEO. They don't actually really like the daily details in running a business.
True.
Now, or they may not be entrepreneurial. They may be more of a business builder. There's different types. Most people don't realize is that, are you a Martha Stewart type? Are you a Jeff Bezos type? Are you a Eunice Johnson type? Are you a Madam C.J. Walker type? Or whatever the case may be, you have to really decide how you're
That's
going
right.
to lead.
I love
and
what you
work
say,
with your skills. Yeah, and then connect
it.
With your best skills. But if
Absolutely.
You're not that, what you're going to do, is that you're going to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I know that I really love to do hair. I'm not finished doing that, but I love the mind share of building a brand. But I need to get me a someone who loves being in the details, crossing I's, dotting T's every day. And that is why people like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, that's why they step down, because they know as founders they can only go so far. So that's why sometimes founders don't make good CEOs. Sometimes CEOs don't make good founders. They don't find a lot of – they're not visionary. So you have to really just connect with what you're good at.
Well, I love what you say, because being an entrepreneur, and when I mm-hmm. sat down and decided to create a business for myself to run, I first sat mm-hmm. down and said, what am I good at doing? What do I enjoy mm-hmm. doing? What do I like? Mm-hmm. If I could design the perfect business for myself, what would that consist of? And I literally made a list. Yes, I did. I made a list, and I said, well, I want to be in broadcasting. I want to write. I want to have books. Mm-hmm. I want to write things. I want to help others to accomplish their goals. And what I designed, I wrote down every single thing that I enjoyed doing and what would just be something that was very natural for me to do from day to day. And I say this is an important lesson for folks to get, because I knew then, and that was 24 years ago, if not longer, I knew then that it was going to take me a long time, quite possibly, to bring everything into the vision to reality the way that I would one day have it. And so I needed to wait that time out, so to speak, and not give up, or, you know, you're going to have days of frustration, but to say, to do it every single day and wake up with a zeal and a passion. And I knew that if I did it, if I created the business with everything that I enjoyed doing, how could I not be happy with that? And that seemed to be what has sustained Hair Radio, is because I created a business that I enjoy doing. But more importantly than that, that I would hope others who joined me in my vision would be able to see their vision of their own. And that is why we've been here celebrating at hairnationexpo.biz. If you go into our site, www.hairnationexpo.biz. If you, when you come out to the event in May, May 4th, 5th, and 6th, Showboat Hotel, what you're going to find is it's our celebration of the 25th year in this business, and we are so excited. We're just excited. But do you see what I mean, Cheryl, about creating what you like?
Yeah, and then let me just add, because just to put some application to it, you know, one of the things that makes things successful that you love, if you love them, is because success follows effort. Mm-hmm. It doesn't follow passion.
Oh, hold it. Let me write that down. Hold it. Success follows effort, not, what was the other?
Not passion. Not purpose. You can have a passion for something, but if you don't love to do it as much as you love doing something else, the success follows effort. So whatever you put your most effort in is what probably you love the most.
I'm typing that onto Facebook right now, Cheryl Morrow. I love that. Wow, I never heard that before.
Right, so that's what most people say. They say, oh, well, make sure that you do what you love. What they're actually saying is, 9 times out of 10, make sure that you separate your passion and purpose, because that may not be where you put your most effort. Because what you don't realize is that I have a passion for cars, but I only have a passion for the emblems. And, you know, I don't love the emblems. So when I focus on my passion, I'm always focusing on the emblems. So why don't I just focus on emblems and leave all the other car part alone? Because, yeah, I have a general purpose and passion for cars, but I have a love for the emblems. So the point is that if you go through your process long enough, you'll find out what your actual love is. And you said broadcasting. You love talking. You love communicating. You know, you have finite. You have zeroed in. But your eye is single, your mind and your consciousness. And then you put your effort there. And then you want to know why, just monetarily, you're successful at it. Because money and success follow the effort, not quite the passion.
Wow.
But secondly, I would say the second most important thing that people starting their own line, finance and mathematics.
Where do we get the money? That's hard, Cheryl.
No. Quite the contrary. I don't mean investments or seed money. I mean understanding finance and mathematics. Because if you don't understand how to focus on your where you're gross and how you, because if you don't understand finance and mathematics, then you understand pricing, production math, ounces, how to figure out your bottom line, how much do you forecast and what you're going to make in quarter, and how to, you know, if you don't know those things and those numbers, if you don't know your numbers, then you cannot plan and strategically attack and go where you want to go and deal with demographics. If you don't know how to read data, you don't understand math. And I'm not talking about algebra. I'm talking about just general mathematics as it applies to 40% percentages that we teach you, I teach it, you know, and just like a young lady's doing, she's a client of ours, and she makes masks, facial masks, and, you know, just dealing with her numbers and how she gets, you know, the cost of one, what we call COGS, the cost of goods sold, just to come up with that. So the second thing that I would, you know, advise them, and they don't necessarily have to come with that. They can get taught that. Then they start understanding, oh, that's why I shouldn't do 32-ounce versus 16-ounce in the retail market. Oh, I get it. Okay, because when I buy the raw material at this, oh, okay. So then they start understanding of the beauty business from how real executives deal with it, not just from the end user, because at the end of the day, hairstylists are just a professional consumer with a license. They are a consumer with a license. So what? And that's how they interact with wholesalers and distributors and retailers. That's how they deal with it. But as a consumer, they don't get let in on the inside. But when they become a consumer, they become on the inside. So they start communicating and acting like we give them the behavior and the thoughts and the formulas and equations to start thinking like a CEO of a beauty brand.
Wow. Well, I don't know what to say, Cheryl Morrow. You always shut it down. I tell you. You really do. Well, listen, speaking of products, and this is something I'm announcing here today, we have just launched our own e-commerce site at Hair Radio, which is available when you go to www.shophairradio.com. And again, it's that's our new site, shophairradio.com. And what I love about this, Cheryl, is that folks who have listened to many of our amazing guests who have products out there, we are often besieged as soon as the guest is off the air with calls of where can they get these products. And what can you tell us more about the products that the guest was just talking about? Carrie, why don't you have them available? Can we get them from you? And I've been asked this over and over and over the course of over a couple of decades. So I said, okay, fine. Let me just go ahead and develop our very own e-commerce site that includes amazing products from guests of the show, from folks who have come into the different hair radio platforms. So you'll find products like New Grow Hair, some from the folks out in California. We have beautiful hair products in there. We've got Mr. Terrence has a product, Platinum Needles, for those who do lock repair and also for weaving, you know, doing wigs and all of that. So there are a lot of products there. And you know what also I did, Cheryl? I put in, I made a separate area for if you need to keep your shop clean. So if you need all the things that go in the restroom and cleaning the floor and tissues and the paper towels and all those wonderful things too that you need to have. And so if you don't have a lot of storage space, that's fine. We actually have folks that we have here in New York where we ship all the products, which is excellent. And what I love about it is that we will keep the products here and you just give us a 24 to 48 hour notice and we will get you whatever amount that you need to keep to replenish your stock. So you don't need a big room. You can order and get the special bulk pricing, which gives you huge discounts if you have a salon or barbershop or a place, a commercial business. And we will keep the products here and just ship them to you, you know, deliver them to you and or ship them as you need it. And if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, it's very convenient. And otherwise, we will ship UPS or something of that nature. But what do you think about shophairradio.com?
Well, and let me just say this. The reason why I'm excited about it is because it allows consumers to have access to indie brands. Indie brands are shown in both domestic and international markets in the finance world. These beauty markets are such as, you know, Shop Hair Radio allows the consumer to have exposure to indie independent brands,
right.
smaller brands who have better quality control or who are not massing out. Maybe they have the ability to do custom, but it just gives the consumer much more of a variety instead of just dealing with the OTC markets such as Target and obviously Walmart and Amazon, which is, you know, people who are making things for just everybody. But these micro markets, like such as Shop Hair Radio, are very important in the, yeah. in the evolution and revolution of indie brands. Like Fenty, you know, it's not a small brand, but it's not a big brand like Maybelline. So in micro markets are specialized markets. These things are becoming so much more popular. There's worlds like Glossy and Cosmetic Executive Women, and there's McKinsey, all the think tanks, Beautycon, Beauty and Money, they're all talking about the micro power of the micro market. And you're right on target, Carrie.
I love your, it.
Yeah, your niche.com is creating the same business model, just making it more available for the indie brand. It's very important to the evolution and the new era of beauty and cosmetics, because at that level, those particular brands can change very easy. They can change very quickly. They can adjust to people, the consumer needs, the consumer trends. Big companies tend to adapt slower. And just like we are, and I think the distinctive thing that we're bringing to Hair Nation next year is the fact that, you know, the ability to become a brand owner, it actually helps the industry, because what we can do, we can put you in a technology that you would not normally think of yourself, but we do appreciate the fact that you see the vision of this particular brand. So we kind of like fit you into a brand, actually. But we also, smaller companies can forge ahead and do new things that are risky that big companies can't do. And you giving them a platform such as Shop Hair Radio to put them in a sales funnel is just remarkable, Carrie. Because products like innovation like cannabis.
Thank you so much.
Smaller companies can take advantage of those things, and then here you are giving them a platform, which is absolutely
wonderful.
That's the trend.
That's what I love, because being able to provide that platform, like you said, for these businesses who are looking for distribution opportunities, and sometimes they can't find them so readily. And so I'm happy to provide shophairradio.com. And it's spelled shophairadio.com. Of course, there's always one R in the middle of Hair Radio. So shophairradio.com. And we will be giving out, we are actually going to discuss a product of the day. We're going to be looking at and providing analysis on some of the items that are available. We've got books that are out there. My How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book is there. We've got other folks who have books there. All kinds of things, albums, music albums. You hear me playing songs on the Hair Radio Morning Show. They're there. So it's just it's a nice thing. And Cheryl, I'm hoping that we'll put some of your amazing things there as you tend to roll things out. We wouldn't have it any other way.
We got a wonderful poster series. We got a wonderful so all the things that actually we talked about. There is an ebook to it. There's a poster series. There is a wonderful some of the vintage books of Mr. Morrow are now in ebook digital form.
And let me tell you something. We can house digital properties there. So if it is digital, we can set it up where everybody can go on and purchase it, and of course they'll have access to the downloads. And or if it's a tangible product, we can ship things, you know, we can drop ship. So we want the Morro products there. All right. Well, speaking of making it happen again, Cheryl Morro, who is out there, I mean, you're doing everything that is hair and beauty and education and information for everybody's sake, and we need you. We need the Morro family, so you guys keep doing what you're doing.
I love to do that. I was just on a call, and we created a beautiful partnership, and I know you heard of Damon Dash.
Of course.
He is so wonderful. And he's
Shark
coming
Tank
in.
Man.
No, that's Damon John.
Oh, hold it. That's it. Damon. Oh, Damon Dash, wasn't it the one that was with Jay-Z?
Rockefeller.
Okay, so got that one, all right.
Yeah. They both named them. And in any case, joining
forces.
Well,
what are you doing with Damon? With Damon Dash? What are you guys doing?
He is realizing that, you know, he and I agree that we did speak about the issues of ethnic hair care. And he wants to be a help, a seed help in getting these new product brands, these new product owners. Let's say if we can see some of the potential of these hairstylists that are new to elevate, let's get them into a brand themselves. Let's start creating new Madam C.J. Walkers and Annie Malones and new terrains. We have to start recycling ourselves. We can't just act like we're just going to, you know, live forever. And these bubbling, beautiful beauty influencers are young. You know, they want to be involved. They want to change the world as well. They want to get into the vision. You know, he has he sees the vision. So he is saying, you know, sure, let's go. You know, and you know, let's try to get a program to where, you know, we give them the formulation and we give them the technology. He says, and we'll do this. We'll have, you know, the foundation to get them straight into the packaging that is affordable and high-end. And then he says, media-wise, we'll take those brands into Macy's and we'll do other things that, you know, in the relationships that he has. Wonderful, wonderful visionary. That's new. We're excited about that.
Well, that's exciting news. And please keep us informed. And because there are a lot of folks who are part of the Hair Radio Morning Show who would love to know more about that, and anything that you guys are working on and collaborating, especially on that level, is huge to us here. So please keep the listeners informed of that. That would be awesome.
Well, I'll keep you in there. Don't worry about it. We will be at Hair Radio with bells on.
Oh, I love it.
Hair Nation with bells on.
Yes. Well, Hair Nation Expo, again, Cheryl's going to be there in person, so you'll get an opportunity to connect with her. You can actually connect with her through our social media site, which is www.hairradio.com, and it's HAIRADIO.com. If you go there and you are not a member already, it will ask you to register to sign up. And there, all you need is an email address and your name, essentially. And you sign on up for the site. It is free, F-R-E-E. It doesn't cost you anything. You sign up, and then once you register, you'll be approved. And then you'll be able to go search Cheryl's name right in the little search box. And friend Cheryl, amongst so many others right here that you've listened to on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So that's our very own hair and beauty social media site that we have that connects all of us, and it's just awesome. So, Cheryl, we'll get some wonderful tidbits from you that we'll include on the social media site that we'll have on your page that the listeners can go to. Just who are tuned in right now, just a little private little something extra. So we want to send you guys to hairradio.com to see that. Again, it'll be on Cheryl's page on the site. Cheryl, I have to say, I am just always amazed at your energy, at your commitment to hair and beauty, and to the folks behind the hair and beauty and behind the chair and so many others out there. I mean, you're just doing awesome work. So
I was born and raised. Yeah, I was born and raised in it, Carrie. I don't know anything else. You know,
that's why we gave you the moniker Hair Royalty. And I only call two folks Hair Royalty. That's Cheryl Morrow and Alelia Bundles. Those are the only two Hair Royalty persons I know.
You know, and to have grown up with, you know, Jim Dudley's kids and the Gardeners and all of, you know, it's I treasure it. And it's, you know, as a, I feel like a vanguard. I really do, and I love it. But I do want to see it flourishing, and I do want to get rid of some of the stigmas. I do want to demystify some of the myths, the things that are not true. I do want to make sure that history is told correctly. I do like the of getting on a page to where we all have a consensus that we want to grow it, both domestic and international markets. We want to be mindful that everyone in the world is in the beauty business of some sort.
Well, Cheryl, I usually ask people at this point, is there anybody you want to shout out to? But in your case, I'm going to ask you, is there anybody that you want to just pass along any thank yous or special comments before we wrap up today?
Yes, I do. Actually, in your area, while I was in New York, I had great mentors. I want to tell your audience about one specific experience. And I was given one day, I wanted to leave San Diego, and I wanted to go to New York because I wanted the big time. I wanted to be in the big time, right? Yeah. So I was in the big time when I saw and met a man named Rudy Townsend, and he was friends with Patrick Kelly and James Harris, and these are all big legends in my development, early development. So I went to New York, you know, young, and I could have been 24. Anyway, but I landed there in Rudy Townsend and James Harris. I mean, they loved a fawn, a little sister. I mean, they took me everywhere. I was exposed to the celebrity side of fashion and hairstyling and makeup at that time, which was early 90s. So all of the downtown, downtime behind the scenes, hung out with the likes of, you know, Gloria Steinem, Alice Walker, and all Patrick Kelly's clientele at that particular time. And I did it because I decided I was going to be small. I was going to just be part of the team. I didn't really have professional aspirations. But because I could be part of their team, I was willing to do anything, Carrie, just to be with them. And during my travels of just growing up in that and being in New York, I would like to say that one day I was earning the window station. And you had to really earn that. And I told James Harris, and that was Naomi Sims from on 57th Street at that time. That was big time, Terry, big time.
Wow.
So I wanted to earn them. So, and James and everyone told me, well, you're going to have to do a haircut to earn that because the window is what everyone sees you working and then you get all the clientele and all, blah, 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 blah. So I was on second floor, and I wanted that window station. At that point, Carrie, Bernice Calvin.
Yes, I just spoke to her the other day, by the way. Go ahead.
Audrey Smalls, James Harris, Rudy Townsend, the owner of Naomi Scent, they were all walking across the street.
Wow.
and it was the model Munya. I don't know if you guys remember Munya, but Munya was way before Iman.
Okay.
Anyway, but they're all walking across the street, and I'm standing in the windows, looking at them walk across the street, coming towards me, coming upstairs to come see me do this haircut. Gary, I swear, at that point, and they liked it, and I did it, I finished it, you know, but the mentoring, and just to I don't think I publicly thanked my mentors.
Wow.
And all the hairdressers can understand, iron truly sharpens iron. Truly, it does. You don't get, if you want to be sharp as a diamond and sharp and strong as stainless steel and iron, you do have to get another piece of iron. And you can't ask for a wimp to make you into a...
you're absolutely right. I love that.
To thank Rudy, I think Rudy is, if Rudy is, has passed, but I think James Harris is still with us. So James, thank you for being tough. Ms. Bernice Calvin, thank you for being tough. Olive Benson, thank you for being tough. Thank you. You know, they're all, I think Olive Benson has passed away as well, but just thank you for being tough. Because you turned me into, and I think that because they were extra tough because of who my father was, they didn't want to give me an easy time. But I don't think I've ever publicly thanked them.
Well, I'm going to add to that list two names. One is your dad, Dr. Willie Morrow, and the mm-hmm. other name is your own, Ms. Cheryl Morrow. I want to thank you so much. You are just awesome in every which way, and you have inspired so many of us. So many of us in and around the business.
I think the last time I saw Alelia, we did a tour with for Relaxed and Natural for Procter & Gamble's Relaxed and Natural.
Oh,
and
Alelia Bundles. Ah.
Yes. And so we were in, and I think in the name of she was actually we picked her to present Howard with the check, I think.
Wow.
For some reason, but it was through a wonderful ad agency called Libby Taylor. We did it in
Well, 2006, okay. 2006. Well, she's been out there quite a while. You guys know Alelia is the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker, and it has been said that she is the first self-made female millionaire in the United States, among so many other things. And I certainly don't have to tell the Hair Radio Morning Show audience who Madam C.J. Walker, you know, was. But certainly her great-great-granddaughter. What can I say about Alelia? She's been on our show. We love her so much. And she will be at Hair Nation Expo 2019. So, you know, we're bringing the heavy hitters.
I see you've been busy. So
we've been very busy. This is going to be awesome. And I just chatted with Bernice Colvin the other day, literally, like maybe 3 days ago. She's going to be out there. She's doing a whole bunch of wonderful information, and she asked for all of our details about the show.
Yeah.
So she's still going strong, and we're doing she's still plugged
in.
No, she's still there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So I'm happy that we have been that, you know, and Cheryl, you've helped to pull us to that level. So I just have to say thank you, and I really mean it. It's heartfelt on behalf of all the listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show and all of our properties and everything that we're doing. You know, we've been kind of climbing up those shoulders. So thank you so much. You keep up with all that you're doing. Okay.
Morning coffee, vanilla latte served to go. Drink it slow.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
And reach the world. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It has been an amazing week on the broadcast, I should say. Real happy to have you with us. If you've just joined us, then it's likely you missed the interview with the amazing Cheryl Morrow from out in Southern California, from the San Diego area. We're going to have to get Cheryl back on. Of course, we've been digging into our archives and pulling up some of the amazing broadcasts and great guests we've had. Coming up next week on the show, we're, of course, it'll be live all week, as we move towards show numbers 650 through 700. So that'll be up, of course, in the next few months. And I want to say thanks again. Let me see. Oh, yeah, I want to make sure that everybody is aware of what's happening. I've been getting a lot of inquiries. Our live hair event that was scheduled for October, it was called the Road to Healthy Hair. We were putting it on in Atlantic City, New Jersey. That has been postponed. Let me be clear. We are not having the live in-person event where we have vendors and all of that. It has been moved to next year in the year of 2022. We will keep you informed as to the new dates, when it's available for you to get involved, and when to purchase tickets. We're not having the October event. We need to make sure that that is very clear out there. If you have any questions, please feel free to call us to let us know. Also, we will be looking for, or we have been looking for, a co-host on this program of the Hair Radio Show to join us, as well as new panelists. We will be promoting that throughout the weekend. So if you follow me on Facebook at the Hair Radio Morning Show, or on my own page, my personal page at Carrie Hines, I'll be happy to fill you in on all the details, and real pleased about that. Also, we'll let you know what we've got planned. Want to certainly wish everybody a happy Labor Day. I forgot it's right around the corner, coming up on Monday. And we'll tell you what we do when we get back together on Tuesday's broadcast with an all-new Vet Talk radio show as well. And I believe there's a special broadcast that they're working on for next week. So lots to do here at Hair Radio to keep us busy over the weekend. I think I have a couple of commercials to roll on out, and we'll be back to kind of sign on off for this week. But stay with us, and thanks again for being on. For hanging in there with us at the Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
The natural hair care and maintenance training being brought to you by Complete Beauty Solutions, where cosmetology meets healthy naturalism and everything in between. Now offering our half-off introductory special all summer long. So log on to cbeautysolutions.com to sign up. That's C, like complete, then beautysolutions.com. We'll also be on the number one hair radio show, so don't miss out.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Back Live, I want to thank you again for being with us. We will see you back here on Tuesday's broadcast. We want to make sure that you have a wonderful Labor Day, and we'll see you then with an all-new Vet Talk radio show as well. Again, make it a great weekend. I'm Carrie Hines. It's been my honor and pleasure to welcome you to the broadcast. Take care, everybody. Here's our outro. It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021. That's three big days. Now, the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. The event is for everyone. You don't have to be a hair or beauty professional to come to our show. Let us know if you'd like to be a vendor. Call us. Call our office at 8-